The federal government has announced $326 million to fund more than 6,000 extra home care packages for older Australians. While the funding is welcome, it's a fraction of what's needed to provide support for the 100,000 people still on waiting lists. The government says more funding will be available in the October budget, but it's not saying how much. Richard Colbeck is the Minister for Aged Care and Senior Australians. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Thanks, Zoe. Nice to be here.
104,000 people have been approved for in-home care but are still waiting for packages. Is it realistic to ever think that we'll get that down to zero?
Well, look, that's the objective is to reduce the waiting list, and we've put some markers down for ourselves in the past on that. We're looking at a process to reform the system because there is a considerable amount of money that is currently in the system but not being used to provide care. It's being held in accounts and effectively saved, and we would like to put that money to work as well. But there will be a requirement for more investment. We've invested heavily in this system since we came to government. There were about a bit over 60,000 packages in the system when we came to government. There's over 160,000 as we currently stand. So it's grown substantially, including by over 50,000 packages since the 1819 budget at a cost of in excess of $3 billion. So we have invested significantly. We put 10,000 packages into the system immediately after the interim report into aged care. And with the budget being delayed, we wanted to make sure we continued that process, and therefore the 6,105 that we announced yesterday.
So what do people actually get when they get one of these packages?
Well, at the way that it's currently structured, it will depend on the level of the package. So the packages come in various levels, levels 1, 2, 3 and 4. And so a higher level of care for someone who has higher demand, for example. And that's one of the things that we're looking to reform so that we can actually ensure that we can get maximum utilisation of the resources that we're investing into the system.
So does that mean that the top priority is the 22,000 people waiting for level 4 packages, or when you push these packages out that they're spread across those various need areas?
These are spread across need areas. In fact, these packages are evenly split between levels 1, 2 and 3 because that's the advice that I've received from my department as to how most effectively to continue to reduce the waiting list, which is one of the objectives that we've stated. So we're following that advice.
So you've announced these 6,100 packages now, as you said, to give people some certainty rather than waiting. Can we expect to see more funding, though, in October?
Well, that's what the Prime Minister said when I was standing next to him in his courtyard yesterday. That will be my objective when I go through our budget process. And, of course, we have the Royal Commission, which we extended yesterday or announced the extension of yesterday until the 26th of February. And, of course, then we'd be looking to make a major response to that in the May budget next year. So this is a very intense period of time for us in the context of our policy development work, watching closely what the Royal Commission is doing. Our objective, my objective, is to have a continuum of care from the basic CHSP-type services, combining that with the home care program and then into residential care.
Are you concerned about the delays of implementing the recommendations from the Royal Commission, the fact that you've had to extend it out until February?
Well, the Royal Commission had to cease its work for about 3 months because of COVID-19, and that's had an impact on everybody. We've extended it to 26th of February, as I said, and with the definite intention of being able to respond as quickly as possibly afterwards, but with a budgetary response in the May budget. So the timing of all of those processes have been considered very carefully by government with the intention of being able to respond quickly to all of the elements that we need to deal with.
Given the vulnerability of aged care to COVID-19, does that provide an extra incentive to get more of these in-home care packages funded in October?
Well, look, I think we need to continue to be completely vigilant across the entire aged care system. What we have seen through COVID-19 is a couple of things. One, there's been a slight reduction in the occupancy rates in residential aged care, although our residential aged care across the board has done exceptionally well. We've had less than 2% of our facilities with an incidence of COVID-19 here in Australia, but also some reduction in service into home care packages. Some senior Australians have decided that they don't want people coming into their home, particularly given the advice that they've been provided by the AHPPC about making sure that they are safe, being the cohort that are most vulnerable to the impacts of COVID-19. So there's been some reduction of uptake. That is starting to ease off now and return back to normal levels. So I think vigilance across the board is important, and we need to maintain our systems in place with respect to screening, particularly of staff who are providing service both in residential care and home care.
Turning to a slightly different matter, the Mayor of Mornington Peninsula, Sam Hearn, wants the Shire to be excluded from the metropolitan Melbourne lockdown. Let's take a listen.
We're very worried with the state's second highest population over the age of 65 that our big risk is actually being included in these lockdowns rather than Melburnians clearly knowing that the peninsula is not the place to be coming at this point in time. The Premier's been stronger this time round on being in your primary place of residence, so I guess we'd hope that that's enforced effectively. But even day trips are a real risk to us. The fact that people are allowed to boat, fish, surf, golf, that's a massive risk to us at the moment.
Minister, is it fair enough that people in Mornington, which has an older population, are worried about people from Melbourne bringing the virus to them?
Well, look, I think what the comments reinforce is the need for us all to obey the restrictions or support and abide by the restrictions that have been put in place, which is effectively stay at home, don't go out unless you have the specific reasons to go out, maintain your cough and sneeze etiquette, maintain your social distancing. If you have any symptom at all of flu-like or cold or flu, go and get tested. The really critical things for us in this circumstance is to maintain those social isolations, but also to test, trace, track and isolate any incidents of COVID-19 that we can find so that we can deal with it, manage it and then get through this process. And I saw that in my community on the northwest coast of Tassie where we closed two hospitals. We had 5,000 staff and families isolated and the community locked down to a much tighter level than the rest of Tasmania for a period of 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it had a positive effect. So,
yeah, well, we've already seen staff at several aged care homes in Victoria testing positive. How concerned are you about that? Do you think it's managed?
Well, look, it's something we're watching really closely. But the thing that strikes me, and there's been quite a few cases in the last 2 or 3 days, which we are watching really closely, it is as a result of testing in the community. So we're finding it quickly. And so I again reinforce the point, the tracking and the tracing, the quick return of test results is absolutely vital to protecting our more vulnerable communities. And anyone who has any inkling of a respiratory disease, particularly if you're working in aged care, residential or home care, don't go to work, go and get tested. Isolate while the test is being done. That's the way that we maintain the protection. The aged care facilities, I spoke to the providers this morning, reinforced the need for a very, very alert level of screening of anyone who goes into an aged care facility or who is working in aged care. We've seen in Sydney a couple of times just how graphically tragic it can be if it gets in there. So
what about those residents in the facilities you're talking about then? Have they been moved? Are they being isolated within the facility? How's that being managed?
Well, the figures that I have at the moment, we have 4 facilities under surveillance where the residents have all recovered. There is one resident in one aged care facility two residents in aged care facilities who have contracted the virus, and the rest at this point in time are staff. And of course, those staff are isolated. We've got assistance provided to each of the residential aged care facilities, provision of PPE, some first responder advice from Aspen. And so those things are being stood up. And in my discussions with the department this morning, there's some additional assistance to my department and conversations on a regular basis with DHHS in Victoria to ensure that the resources that are available from a personnel perspective are required, both at a Commonwealth and a state level.
Minister, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Simon.
Richard Colbeck is the Minister for Aged Care and Senior Australians, and you're listening to RN Drive.